Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager's Revisionist Report, and I'm Carolyn Yeager. I'm glad to be with you on this Friday, July 1st. You know, I always hate to see June end, and it has ended. Once again, I always hate to see June end. It's my favorite month, and I think it's partly because we build up to June and the summer solstice, you know, and the days get longer, and we have more sun and more light. And then it starts, you know, beginning on June 21st, it turns and goes the other direction. So now we're on our downward journey to the winter solstice. Although I find a lot about winter that I like, I guess it's just bred into me that I feel that when June ends, some kind of positive forward motion has changed, and now we're going we have to go back again, and before we come back, well, the solstice that is in all of us, you know, that we all it's bred into us. It's part of our wiring, and it affects us all. We should pay more attention to that in our modern age, where we are told to think, pay attention to other things like the clock and holidays and so on. We don't really pay enough attention to these really important kind of what might be a celebrations that we used to celebrate back in the days that are now considered primitive. Back when we were pagans. All right, well, I will continue on here. I've got quite a few interesting things to say, and I expect to have some guests next week. I'm really excited that Manfred, the person who runs the German Views website that I was referring to when I was ended up talking about cultural Marxism from one of the blogs there. And there's several blogs there that are very interesting that I could talk about on this program when I run out of, when I find the time to do so. But he has finally written to me, and he said he would be happy to be a guest, so I'm going to try to get him on next week, and he will have a lot to say. I know that will be of great interest to us because he is a German living in Germany. He's on the right, you know, politically, and he has he's writing a book, and he does a lot of writing, and he communicates with a lot of people, so he's going to be very, very interesting. I'm looking forward to that. I've also in contact with Vincent Reynaud, but I can't quite seem to get him to. He's in France, and he's a favorite of mine, but I haven't gotten him to reply to me when I say, how about this day or that day on the program? So I hope to have him perhaps next week. He may be all tied up. He replies, but he doesn't actually say, well, okay, this day. He may be tied up with his legal affairs right now. I really don't know. But I have some more news updates today, but I'm going to finish up what I've been wanting to say about the value of memory. And because I don't ever get it finished if I get started on some other things. So I'm going to start with that today, and I'll finish up with the news updates. And as I began saying yesterday, I was talking about Elie Wiesel, and that Elie Wiesel is just a great example of memory, of false memory, or of falsifying memories purposely, in my opinion, as far as Elie goes. And by the way, if you're a reader of my CODO website, you'll know that I have doubts about Elie even being in the concentration camps. And I put up a new blog yesterday called... Sorry. Whoops. Yeah, I went right into the commercial break. Sorry about that. All right, keep going, he says. All right. You'll know that I put up a new blog yesterday at Elie Wiesel Cons the World website. And it's about Ken Walser answering my question, so I hope you check that out.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time, money, education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll-free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager, and I did it again, and that's because I don't hear that music, the first break music. Otherwise, it's pretty good, the first break and the last break. But I'm going to make some changes in my music, so I think I'll be able to do that today and send it to RBN. So hopefully that will be corrected. It's rather embarrassing when we have these long pauses because, for the reason that I just said. All right, let me get organized here. So I was telling you that I have a new blog posted on ElieWeaselTattoo.com. So go there and take a look at it. And follows from the one before that. So if you're not in the habit of looking at that, you might find that pretty interesting. Because I'm going to be talking about Elie Wiesel for a little bit here. And I said at the end of yesterday's program that Elie Wiesel waited for just one example. This is just one example of him and his memory. He waited 10 years to put down his memory of his 1 year in the concentration camps. He said later he had planned to wait 10 years. But at the time that he decided to wait, he didn't say that. I mean, he never spoke about it. So we don't know if that's true or not. But much later, for example, it is in 1979, he told an interviewer, and I read this at the end of yesterday's program, but I'll repeat it. So heavy was my anguish. And he's talking about 1945, at the time of the liberation, that I made a vow not to speak, not to touch upon the essential for at least 10 years. And then he says, long enough to see clearly, long enough to learn to listen to the voices crying inside my own, long enough to regain possession of my memory, long enough to unite the language of man with the silence of the dead. This is what I call Weasley's speaking. You know, he's famous for this, and he's considered very profound and poetic and all of that. But really, if you examine it, it's a bunch of gibberish. I mean, he's not saying anything, and he's covering up for not saying anything by trying to sound profound. Now, did waiting, and I asked this also yesterday already, did waiting improve his memory of the events he says he lived through? No. What we have learned about memory on this program this week, no, it gave him actually time to make up memories, because memory does not improve over time. It deteriorates. So he says, though, that he needed 10 years in order to see it clearly. So we have to say, would he see it more clearly after 10 years? Absolutely. The scientific answer is no. He says he needed 10 years to regain possession of his memory. Well, who can figure out how you regain possession of your memory? I don't know. But it's sounding more like he needed 10 years to create and invent his memory. And we know that in that time, he was able to learn from other survivors and learn everything that was said about the camps. And then he supposedly wrote a book in Yiddish, in which he wrote 860 pages in a short period of time on a boat going to Brazil from France. And then he completed it in that time, which is impossible. This is all a part of the research that I have done, which is fairly exhaustive. And there's still more to be done on that website that I mentioned, ellieweaseltattoo.com. But just in this part about memory, in the book, in the original Yiddish book, which I conclude is not his, he did not write, but the person who wrote it said at the end of this book, which was about the after Buchenwald was liberated, that he started taking notes and writing immediately he was going to write his story. But when it was published as Night in French and English by Elie Wiesel, that whole ending had changed. And then he says he was kind of like a zombie, and he had no life in him. He had but he had a little bit of life in him. And he had nothing was said about writing, and he didn't write. Elie Wiesel himself did not write this Night until 10 years later. So actually 9 years later, but he calls it 10 years. So that's the story about his memory. Now, from an interview just last February, which I wrote something about in a blog on memory on that website, I'm going to quote a little something here. If one idea has animated Mr. Weasel's life, it is that of the power of memory. Memory gives culture. He likes to say that. Memory gives culture. Memory spoken and shared can prevent remembered tragedies from recurring. But then he wonders if today's communications technology, and I'm paraphrasing this part, creates a fun house of memory mirrors wherein events are reflected and twisted before they have even ended while still going on. And now Weasel is quoted as saying, there is no life without memory. Well, that could be true. I mean, we wouldn't know about it if we didn't remember it, would we? But when it's too much, then we no longer know really what came first, the event or the memory of the event. Well, I found that really interesting that he said that we can't always know what came first, the event or the memory of the event, because this is typical of the way Weasel talks when he talks about memory. And, of course, the memory of an event cannot come before the event unless there really was no event. There is just a memory, but of something that didn't happen but is now decided that it did happen because somebody says they remember it. And this is really what this false memory idea, syndrome, and so on is all about. And it's so common that our memories are not really accurate, And then it's in Holocaust literature, it's fairly common that memories are just invented and made up. And Elie Wiesel knows all about that because that's what he's done, in my opinion. And he uses memory as the linchpin for Holocaust truth because he knows that that's about all it's got. And therefore he lifts up memory as a very, very special thing. But it really, if you learn about how memory works, you will see that he's on very shaky ground there, and as he is on everything. So enough for Elie Wiesel for today, and let's turn back to Dennis Avey and ask, does he believe what he says about his POW camp experiences? Well, Avey is not a typical POW, really. Far from it. Most POWs had no trouble talking about their experiences and forming networks, etc. Most POWs did not have terrible experiences, certainly not the British POWs, and they didn't have these horror stories to tell the way that Avey does. Now, Avey doesn't seem to ever have been a part of one of these POW networks. And you know what a lot of POWs spent their time doing in the camp? They formed sports teams. There was a lot of sports going on, and even Avey was on a soccer team. That was a winning soccer team, but he likes to play that down because he wants to pretend like it was all horror, 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 and slave labor. But they didn't work that much. And most of them didn't, because they were put, another thing they did, even at E715, but at all the camps, Brits are famous for this, British POWs, they put on shows, musicals, comedies, you know, the men took the parts of the women. And it was all for fun, and you know, everybody enjoyed it. And they were quite elaborate. They made costumes. They had stages. They did, and they were allowed to do this because POWs had a status, and they were contained there, and they had to line up every morning and line up every night, I think, you know, to be checked over and so on. But otherwise, it was not the way that Avey puts it out. So, you know, he is not, as I've been trying to say, a real believable person. But I have new information about him and about Ernst Lobet, which I've been accumulating over the last week. And it's going to be a lot of work to organize all this and write about it. I'm going to have to write another article about him, though, which I will eventually get done. So here we have, let's also look at, in the terms of memory, the Salem witch trials. You know, the Salem witch trials are very, in Salem, Massachusetts, I don't think I need to go into the dates and all that because I don't have that in front of me. But the people had ideas implanted in their minds, and the power of belief became very strong because, in general, people imagined that they saw their neighbors coming to them as in spectral manner, you know, as spectral beings, because they were working for the devil or possessed by the devil and doing harm to them. And then they more and more naturally, because it's mass hysteria, more and more found this happening to them too. And they ended up accusing all these people of being you know, working for Satan, and the result of it was that they convicted 29 people of witchcraft, and 19 of them, 14 women and 5 men, were executed by hanging. You know, this sounds very, very much like the Nuremberg tribunals. Absolutely. And I'm going to make that connection more clearly, because these Nazi so-called war criminals were accused by all of these concentration camp, not all, some. The ones that they were able to get to, you know, the ones that the prosecutors were able to get to say, oh, yes, this happened, and so-and-so did this, I saw this, and so-and-so did that. And then they came into the court, you know, courtroom, which wasn't a real courtroom. It was a military tribunal. And they gave their testimony, and their testimony was accepted, and they couldn't really be cross-examined. And a lot of them, a lot of the testimony came only by affidavit. They weren't there in person. And so all of these, and this went on not just at the main war criminals, but this trial, but this went on many trials further on where this was even more pronounced, where people were being accused, you know, lower level Nazis were being accused of crimes, and they had no opportunity whatsoever to deny them, because as in the Salem witch trials, here's a good thing. This one man who refused to enter a plea, he refused to cooperate with the court, you know, an intelligent man, Giles Corey, he was therefore crushed to death under heavy stones in an attempt to force him to do so. And they say five more of the accused died in prison, of those who weren't executed by hanging. But this is, you know, back to Nuremberg, they had no opportunity to defend themselves any more than these people at the Salem witch trials, because they were guilty ahead of time. You know, because these people in Salem were accused by these citizens of coming to them in some kind of devilish form. You know, they had no way to defend themselves from that. How could they? So, and it was all believed, and they needed to carry this. You know, once these things get going, they just follow until it's all run out. As it said, they use political rhetoric. I seem to be going right past the break. I don't know why, but anyway, I'll keep going. They're using political rhetoric and popular literature as a vivid cautionary tale about the dangers of religious extremism. Well, I would say I'm saying that wrong, because I was got confused about not going on a break. Here it is. Here it comes. What is going on here? All right. We will be back with you in 3 minutes.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill, handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers, and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products, along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I understand there's a little problem. There's been some problem today with the bumpers, the bumper music, you know, the breaks. And so we've been having a little problem here, too. I think I forgot to mention that the call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Now, I was trying to talk about Salem witch trials. I was kind of getting a little fouled up here, but... I wanted to say that it's an example, all right? It's an example of several things, but among which are religious extremism, false accusations, and lapses in due process, which were all a part of the Nuremberg tribunals trials. If you change religious extremism to political extremism or raw political power being put in place. And I will have some more of that to talk about as I go into my little news item. Now, the background here for the Salem witch trials, that people had a strong belief that Satan was present and active in the world, and compare that to our World War II ongoing at that time war propaganda about Hitler and the Nazis. Non-Germans were convinced that they were far more evil and interested in taking over the world and things like that than was actually the case. People believed during the time of the Salem witch trials that all misfortunes were the work of the devil, and the Allies portrayed the Germans and the world as the cause of all the problems that were going on and the cause of the war, and that once they were defeated, and however they were defeated didn't matter, once they were destroyed, really, the world situation would be bright and wonderful, and we would move on to all the peace that they could provide for us. Well, nothing like that has happened, because it was that whole idea was based on falsehood, and they used people to say things that weren't true, saying that they remembered this, and memory was enshrined at Nuremberg, and it has been enshrined ever since amongst that the Jewish people in particular, the Jewish people in particular, their memories are sacred, and we cannot question their memories, and Elie Wiesel has played a big, big role in this. But as I say, I'm going to stop on that for now, and I'm going to see if... what this message is. I have a caller, Roy in Michigan. Hello, Roy. Welcome to the show. Well, Roy, we're going to another break. I think we're catching up. And we'll talk to you as soon as we get back from the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager. This is the Revisionist Report, and we have Roy on the line from, or is it Ray? Let me see here. Hi, Ray.
It's Roy. Yes, Roy. Hi, good morning. You know, the things that you're talking about, when you you take the account that most everybody has of history, all of us were taught, I can see the total repeating of it right now, removing the Jewish part of the thing. We are the average person, regardless of what his nationality is, the new Jews of the scenario that's unfolding before our face, right down to wanting to take and genocide the population. And doing as many soft kills as they can, but it's easy to see the preparations are being made for a hard kill that's coming. I questioned myself as to the numbers of Jews that that were killed in the camps, or died in the camps, however it happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see all of these things all coming. Coming to fruition right now, and even right down to where the population basically are socialists, the bigger share of the population, and socialism and all that always leads to this type of thing. But
how does socialism lead to this type of thing? You know, there are different kinds of socialism, right?
But they still, they end up with, it's a control factor. It's like any type of government that you have, you got a control factor involved. And the sustainable type thing, which is being played out, the Agenda 21 in our society and has been, is all just part of a socialist type of thing to take and bring the whole world all together.
Yeah, all right. So when we talk about international socialism or world socialism, we're really talking about internationalism. And I kind of prefer that term, and I think we should use that term. Because if you have, you know, you can have a national type of socialism which can benefit the people of the nation. It can be a very different type of socialism. It can be a modified socialism, not 100% socialized, but partly socialized. A lot of different ways to look at that. But if we're going to talk about international socialism, we're back into globalism, right?
That's where it's all going right now. There is no mm-hmm. question about that. And that's the type of socialism that's being put together right now.
Yeah.
And it is very dangerous.
But I'm just saying that you can't condemn every form of socialism, which might be on a smaller, more localized scale. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Maybe I don't know what you're saying. How do you feel that it is a safe way of governing?
Let's look at someone like Chavez in Venezuela. Now, I'm not approving of everything that Chavez does in Venezuela, but then, he went up against a ruling elite that would very much cooperate with the globalist elite in everything, very much connected with the banks and the banking elite and the money and all of that. And so therefore he's given a bad kind of rap as being a socialist and being a communist. Maybe he's friendly with Castro and things like that. But, you have to look at it from the point of view of the people of that nation. And I believe I'm a nationalist, see. If a nation of people decides they want to have some socialism, I certainly don't see anything wrong with that. I think every nation needs some socialism in order to function properly in a national spirit. But, and of course, I've said that I like national socialism. I'm not saying that we should institute German, or Hitler's national socialism, in everywhere in this country or just take it the way it is. But I'm just saying that it worked very well for them. And there's a lot of value there to be looked at. So that's why I'm questioning using the word socialism. And I think I agree with what you're saying, but I think it needs to be distinguished that it's a kind of an international socialism that was promoted by actually the Bolsheviks and the communists, and they call it socialism.
All I know is that right now what is happening from basically a socialistic society that we live in, or a Nazi-type society, as I see it, is that we have the brutality of the police, the imposition of if we're going to be social, we're going to do it this certain way, we're going to think a certain way, we're going to do things in a certain way, and if we don't conform, then we have to pay the consequences of that nonconformity, and for that reason, I have no desire to live in a socialistic society. And
would you rather live in a socialistic society or a multiracial, multicultural society?
I don't hold any hatred towards the different races, and so. You're saying living in a society where all different races live. I've done that. I'm an old man, and I've done it since I was as long as I've been here.
Okay, Roy, it's Roy, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Let me put it this way, because here's where I'm coming from. I don't think that the United States of America, as it is now constituted demographically, can function as a state that is functionable, and it cannot as a nation, and that it is losing its sense of nationhood, and that it is too broken up by different parts, by different peoples with very different cultural backgrounds and languages and ideas for what they want. And therefore, I think that the term Balkanization is used often. I think this is a problem for the United States of America. It's not a matter of disliking or hating or having ill feelings toward people of different races and cultures and ethnicities, but, very, very different ethnicities and basically cultural, racial. I think it just doesn't work. And so what kind, are you libertarian? Is that kind of the position
no,
you're
I'm,
coming from?
No, I'm actually non-political at all. I know what time it is, and I know what is going down right now. And I couldn't vote for any of them because I feel that to take and to vote for evil is not something that I want to have any part of. I mean, this is a evil society.
Well, what's an evil society?
The one
our society?
In. Yes, the one we live in.
And who's made it evil?
Well, I know that a lot of it has been directed by the Zionists. And a lot of
but don't you think it? Don't you agree that it is the Zionist evildoers that you're distinguishing that are responsible for the United States becoming so multicultural as they call it, but actually multiracial?
I think that they hold a lot of responsibility for what is happening. Period. Because I know that they control the monetary system and they control the media and they control all of these different things, and I know that they are a big player, but they have an awful lot of people that go along with it, and that's the problem. Is that?
And why do people go along with it? Because they are satisfying their special interests. You know, all of these non-white groups get funding for all of their organizations and their. You know, the work that they do, and they get a lot of jobs, and they get positions in universities. They get a lot of help that the white population does not get because it's considered they don't need it. And that's why they go along. So these people are being used. What I'm saying is that they are easily used because they're not used to democracy as we've known it. And that's why our democracy here in the United States has been so undermined, because we have all these people now, and again, I have no ill will toward them, but they do not know how to operate in a democracy, and they're not going to. They're going to look out for their own unique group interests. Roy, I don't want to cut you off, but I think we're getting into an area that's way beyond what we can continue and, discuss today. And I do have another caller online, and I want to take him. So, I know you've called in before. Do call in again. I appreciate your listening, and I would like to, talk about this more with you, but not right at the moment. So I'm going to let you go, and I think you've made your point, and I'm going to say hello to Steve. Steve is on the line. Welcome, Steve.
How you doing, Carolyn? Yesterday's newspaper, D-Site, had an article. In essence, I'll give a recap. Shin Bet, the Israeli Security Service, attacked Sinn Féin, that's the Irish Republican Army. You remember they had a Gaza flotilla last year and 9 Turks were murdered?
Yes.
In cold blood. Well, they got another one going. And, of course, it's an Irish ship. And it, to summarize the article, it says, frogmen sabotaged the drive shaft and rudder of the Irish ship Soares. That's Gaelic for freedom. Days after... the Juliana was sabotaged. The Juliana was sabotaged near Athens, in the harbor of Piraeus, and the propeller and drive shaft were cut in those. And this has gotten into an international situation where the Irish ship group leader by the name of Fintan Lane, he has called on the Irish Prime Minister, that's Edna Kenny, to protest this right to the Israelis.
Well, why are you bringing this story up right now, Steve, on the program?
I thought we were talking about Limeys and Hymeys.
Well, I don't know. I guess we're talking about memory.
Right, yeah.
We're talking about memory, but, you know, you might mention this. Are you saying that this ship has taken off? Yeah, you're talking about today's news.
Yes, I'm talking about
I didn't see that. So this who sabotaged the ship?
Well, that would be the Israelis. It's a ship's activists accused Israeli sabotage. So I summed it up.
You mean they infiltrated their way onto the ship as as flotilla members?
No. These were frogmen.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
And that's why I said Shin Bet with the Sinn Féin, because that's...
Okay. Okay, well, you know, people can look into that. That's an ongoing story, right?
What's right now?
Okay. Well, I recommend I will look at that as soon as the show's over, and I recommend everybody look into that. That's an important story. All right, I'm going to let you go, Steve. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Because I want to see, I have a little bit of time here to go on to my own news item I wanted to bring up, and that is to make some more points about what I've been talking about all this week, and that is that the Hitler-Vinitza bunker, the area, one of Hitler's military headquarters, you know, and they had bunkers there, underground bunkers, is in Ukraine, Vinnytsia, Ukraine, and now the Ukrainians are planning to turn it into a museum. Now, some of the points I want to make about this, because I don't have too much time, is that the Ukrainian government, it says, well, we're going to turn this into a tourist attraction. Now, this is what they do with all this stuff. Now, anything, you know, it's money. It's money. It's not so much history, but they've got this there in Ukraine, and they might as well make something out of it because people just go there and look at it, and it's all open. There's nothing been done with it. It's just the way it was left. Of course, it was blown up, but there's still a little bit you can see. But now they say, well, we're going to turn this into a museum, just like the concentration camp museums, and give tours and, you know, tell the story the way we think it should be told. The government is pretty left, is very left, but now the Communist and Socialist Party activists have opposed this, saying that they're afraid it's going to spread Nazi propaganda, or it's going to attract become a neo-Nazi shrine or something. Well, if it hasn't already, it's not going to when they turn it into a museum. Because you can't imagine that a neo-Nazis go and make a shrine out of Auschwitz or out of Buchenwald or something like that. They don't. They have no interest in when they turn these things into their own kind of operations. But now here, Lydia, just to show how these things work, Lydia Zakusilova chairs the regional Communist Party there in Ukraine, and she said that even before, with just a road sign pointing to the location of the werewolf, was the name of that particular headquarters, neo-Nazis were flocking to the site. Well, I've never heard of that. But she said, we had to mobilize the police and local authority and party members to stop them. Well, how does she know who is a neo-Nazi? You know, if people are going there and they think that they should stop people from going there, how do they know who these people are? There are all kinds of people traveling around in Eastern Europe, and they learn about that, or they already knew about it, and they want to go and see it. This is ridiculous. This is how these communists operate. You know, if Roy talks about socialism and running everything, then nobody does it better than the communists. Now, a little going on here, an official, though, at the local Vinnytsia Museum, who wants to speak up for turning it into a museum, she says that the future museum will be a historical memorial to victims of Nazism and will encompass a mass grave for those who died. All right, she says, More than 10,000 POWs and local civilians who built Hitler's bunker were shot by the Nazis and are buried there. And, you know, I say that's a lie because that did not happen. Hitler's bunkers were built by Organization Todt, and a reliable amateur historian commented on this article, which I just saw this morning. He said that Vinnytsia is, of course, a town where many mass graves were excavated by the Germans, mass graves of Ukrainian intellectuals massacred by the Jewish Bolsheviks. And another person replied, people in Ukraine often pair Vinnytsia with the Katyn massacre of Polish intellectuals by Jewish Bolsheviks. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeylite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeylite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, welcome back. In the last 5 minutes, I'm going to continue with this story about Vinnytsia and the way the Ukrainians of today are presenting it. Now, as I'm just going to go straight from what I was saying before the break, that this kind of twisting of who did the killing in the East is common among the left. Well, it's more than common. This is how they make their whole story up. The left, and they get their views repeated by the media, you see, because the media is left. So the left gets all their views put out there, and people believe it, tend to believe it, because anything that you know, people are used to blaming the Nazis for all these things. But you can see that a lot of these things, you can't really find very many. There's no evidence. You can't find the evidence. You can't find the bodies. When they uncover these graves and find bodies, they're not murdered by the Nazis. Now, not all of them. All right. At least the graves that they found are not, for that I know of, and I've studied this quite a bit. Now, future museum representative goes on to say, local villagers were enlisted to dig trenches and clear out the woods. Even children were not spared hard work felling trees. Now, this is supposed to make you feel like those Nazis moved in there and were building this headquarters and forcing these people to work. No. You know, the locals probably were enlisted to do work, and if so, they were paid, and they were darn glad for it. They wanted work because these people were poor. And young people, no doubt, also wanted to get paid to work. And said, you know, and I'm sure that the parents sent their children over there and said, see if you can get on there, you know, too. You know, we all need this money. And they're probably from the age of 12 up or maybe even younger. Nobody was averse to working. And they did get paid. These were not slave laborers. And they were not forced to work and then murdered. That just did not happen. Now, going on with this story, this woman says, visitors will keep coming, and it would be better if our museum staff conduct proper guided tours. Well, she's saying, sure, as I already said, people are going there and looking at it. It's interesting. It's history. And it's just the way it was, but now they're going to change it, and they're going to give guided tours, and they're going to give you their version of what happened, and they're going to tell you how the Nazis murdered all these Ukrainians and buried them and forced them to work and so on, which is going to be a big lie. It's going to be just like these camps, but it's, they're in control. And I say to Roy, these are the people that are in control, not those who are supporting Nazism. So another thing I've got bolded here is that opposition from local villagers. Oh, the article said, opposition from local villagers who are reluctant to lose land where cattle now graze and children played. Okay, so a lot of the local people don't want this to be done because they can graze their cattle over that whole area, and the children play there. You know, this whole area where Werewolf was, it's just a part of their world. But now they're going to turn it, you know, fence it all in, turn it into a special museum memorial place. And they won't have the use of it anymore, so they don't like it. These are just the normal local people. They get nothing out of it. All right. Well, you know, we're almost finished here. And I did complete what I wanted to say. I want to thank the callers for calling in today. And I want you to invite you to come back next week, because I think I'm going to have some very good shows, and I hope we've all learned something about memory this week. All right, this is Carolyn Yeager saying so long for another week, and see you again on Monday.
Ever climbing.